الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading what the author he mentioned الإمام أبو بكر محمد ابن الحسين الأجري رحمه الله تعالى in his book فرض طالب العلم we have been reading from the مختصر of this work the summarized version of this particular work. And in the beginning of the book, there is the title, فَرْضُ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ, the obligation of seeking knowledge. And we see that under this title, the author, he has mentioned مَسَائِل, and he has coupled along with that, the دَلَائِل, that indicate the correctness of these affairs. In the first issue mentioned in this chapter, المَسَلَ الْأُولَى الْمَذْكُورَ فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ, the sign indicating that Allah Azza wa Jal, he wants good for a person, He wants good for a person is that he will grant him understanding in the religion. And he mentioned as an evidence, as a dalil for this mas'ala, the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhuma, which we have been studying in our previous class. We have seen some benefits with regards to this narration. And it is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihhu fi ddeen, that whomsoever Allah wants good for, He will grant him understanding in the religion. And if Allah wants good for someone, this is an indication that Allah loves them and that Allah will aid them and help them and guide them and direct them in their life and their affairs. And along with that, protect them and defend them. Protect them from evil and from misguidance and protect them from their own desires and whims and the trials of life and likewise will defend them and will keep them away from harm and from trials and fitin, and the people of harm, trials and fitin, because the means for all of this is to establish the deen of Allah. The means to have the protection of Allah, the help of Allah, the aid of Allah, the love of Allah, is to establish the deen of Allah. And this is only by way of learning. So therefore, if Allah, He wants good for someone, He will guide them to seek knowledge, and He will help them upon that way, and He will facilitate that for them. And this occurs, barakallahu fikum, whenever a person, he will start to himself love al-Islam and become very interested. And he will start to love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it will become adorned in his heart. And he will love that, and he'll have time for that, and he'll have effort for that. And it will not bother him, rather he'll find joy to spend his money in learning and seeking knowledge and his time and his effort. He will travel, he will drive, he will fly. He will go through great hardship and difficulty to learn about the methodology and the way of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn about the creed and the belief and the deen and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he mentioned a great benefit with regards to this. After mentioning this narration, the sign that Allah, He wants good for someone is that Allah will grant him understanding in the religion. And this means that a Muslim knows that Allah has called him to obedience. And a Muslim, he knows that Allah has called him to obedience, that we are created in this life to worship Allah alone, that we're created in this life, and this life is a test. And this life is a test, and we're tried with our hearts, and our eyes, and our ears, and we're tried with the blessings and the favors of Allah Azza wa Jal. We're tried and tested, and there's a great examination, and there's a day of judgment, accountability, and recompense, reward, and retribution. And that is the day whenever the people, they will stand before Allah Azza wa Jal. فِي يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَكُمُ النَّاسِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ So therefore, a believer, he knows this. A Muslim, he knows this. He knows this with certainty. This is from the foundation of his creed and his belief. And also, he knows that these actions of worship are a means to draw near to Allah. And also, he knows that these actions of worship are a means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from them, there are obligations that must be performed. And likewise, from them, there are prohibitions that must be avoided. And also, there are other affairs that are recommended and pleasing to Allah, and other affairs that are disliked and displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, in this manner, a believer believing in this affair, believing in Allah and the meeting of Allah, believing in the legislation and the deen of Allah, believing in the halal and the haram, that which is permissible and forbidden, and the legislation of Allah, now he will strive to learn that way. Now he will strive to learn that way in order to be upon that path, to strive to draw near to Allah. To strive to draw near to Allah. He will learn the means that will lead him to the pleasure of Allah and to the mercy of Allah and the aid of Allah. And he will strive to implement that in his life. And he will learn the means that will take him away from the mercy of Allah and lead him to the anger of Allah and the punishment of Allah. And he will strive to implement that knowledge and avoid these affairs. So in our previous class, we had discussed the issue about al-fiqh fi din, and that is translated to mean understanding in the religion. But the true understanding is an understanding that is coupled with action, an understanding that produces the fruit of piety and righteousness and reverence and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and obedience inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. As we have seen, that لم يكن السلف يطلقون اسم الفقه إلا على العلم الذي يسحبه العمل. That the Salaf, the pious and the righteous predecessors, they did not used to use the term al-fiqh and the deen, understanding and the religion, except to refer to the knowledge that is accompanied by action. Except to the knowledge that is accompanied by action. So the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, وذلك أن المسلم قد علم أن الله عز وجل قد تعبده بعبادات أوجب عليه يتقرب بها إلى الله عز وجل كما أمره بها لا كما يريد هو لا كما يريد هو. And this is that a Muslim, he knows that Allah has called him to obedience in performing actions of worship that Allah has made obligatory upon him in hopes to draw near to Allah by way of them. And this must be in the manner that Allah has ordered and prescribed, and not as a person he likes himself. فَطَلَبُهُ لِلْعِلْمِ لِيَفْقَهَ مَا تَعَبَّدَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ فَطَلَبَ عِلْمَ مَا تَسِحُ بِهِ عَقِيدَتُهُ وَعِبَادَتُهُ وَعَمَلَاتُهُ فَعَبَدَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ وَبِفِقْهٍ وَعِلْمٍ. So he will seek knowledge to gain an understanding on how to perform what Allah has ordered. And how to perform what Allah has ordered and commanded. Therefore, he will seek knowledge of that which is a means to correct his creed and belief first and foremost. And knowledge of that which will correct his actions of worship so that he can perform those obligations and those means of drawing near to Allah Azza wa Jalla in the manner prescribed so that they will truly be beneficial and truly a means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because even if a person, he loves Allah and he strives to draw near to Allah, but he did not perform those actions of worship in a manner pleasing to Allah, they will not draw him near to Allah. Rather, they will take him further from Allah, no matter how hard he tried or how much effort he made. Because the condition for the actions to be accepted, as we have seen in the previous class, is that it must be sincerely for the sake of Allah and also according to the command of Allah, according to the deen of Allah, and the manner pleasing to Allah, according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he will strive as well to learn the affairs on how to correct his transactions and his dealings so that he will be able to worship Allah upon insight, based upon understanding and knowledge. Based upon understanding and knowledge. Again, he said, وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمْ قَدْ عَلِمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ قَدْ تَعَبَّدَهُ بِعِبَادَاتٍ أَوْجَبَ عَلَيْهِ يَتَخَرَّبَ بِهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كَمَا أَمَرَهُ بِهَا لَا كَمَا يُرِيدُ هُوَ لَكَمَا يُرِيدُ هُوَ. And this is that a Muslim, he knows that Allah has called him to obedience in performing actions of worship that Allah has made obligatory upon him in hopes to draw near to Allah by way of them. And this must be in the manner that Allah has ordered and prescribed, and not as a person he likes himself. And not as a person he likes himself until the end of that which is mentioned here. All of this portion here is from that which is summarized. And if we return to the original text of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, there are many details here. There are many details. Although these details are still summarized, there are more details with regards to this. And this paragraph here has clearly summarized a great portion of the original text. And we read that which has been summarized for the benefit here. And for the benefit here. Before that, the portion he says, فَهَذَا مِمَنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ الْكَرِيمُ بِهِ خَيْرًا إِذْ لَمْ يَتْرُكُهُ فِي الْجَاهِلِ. So this person here, he's the one whom Allah had wanted good for. So this person here, he's the one whom Allah, the Most High, has intended good for, since he did not leave him in ignorance. And he's the one who Allah Azza wa Jal guided him to seek knowledge of that which will correct his creed and belief, that which will correct his manners of worship and his deeds and his contracts and his dealings. This is the one whom Allah has intended good for, because he did not leave him in ignorance. Because he did not leave him in ignorance. So from here, this portion here is clearly summarized. A great portion of it is summarized from the original work, and we read back from that original work. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, discussing these affairs that he's referring to, that Allah will guide him and need to seek the knowledge of. He says, وَعِلْمَ الْمَكَاسِبِ وَعِلْمَ الْمَكَاسِبِ وَمَا يَحِلُّ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَحْرُمُ. He will be guided, Allah Azza wa Jalla will guide him to learn the knowledge of earning a livelihood, of earning a living, and that which is permissible from that which is haram. لِيَأْخُذَ الْحَلَالَ بِفِقْهٍ وَعِلْمٍ وَيَتْرُكَ الْحَرَامَ بِفِقْهٍ وَعِلْمٍ. In order so that he will be able to take the halal, participate in the halal, and that which is permissible upon understanding and knowledge. And also he will be able to leave the haram, that which is forbidden upon understanding and knowledge. So this is from the details of these affairs here that he's mentioning. فَطَلَبَ عِلْمَ مَا تَصِحُ بِهِ أَقِيدَتُهُ وَعِبَادَتُهُ وَمُعَمَلَتُهُ. This part here is all summarizing. And this part here is summarizing all these details. So طَلَبَ هُوَ الْعِلْمَ الْمَكَاسِبِ. And he's seeking knowledge of how to earn a living. This is what is intended here. Seeking knowledge of how to learn a living. Seeking knowledge of learning that which is halal and that which is haram. In order to participate in the halal upon understanding and knowledge. Learning that which is forbidden in the haram. In order to leave off that which is forbidden and impermissible upon understanding and knowledge. وَعِلْمَ النَّفَقَاتِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ عَلَيْهِ وَغَيْرُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. And likewise, he will seek knowledge of the spending, the obligatory spending that's upon him, and likewise the spending that's not obligatory. And in a man in this life, there is obligations that are placed upon him and responsibilities of spending on others, taking care of others, especially those who are married, especially those who have children, and the likes like this. There's great responsibilities that are upon them. They have obligations that they must perform with their wealth, and likewise with regards to the zakat, and as well as spending on the family members, so on and so forth. All of this is knowledge that the one who seeks it and learns it, he will be able to be upon a straight path in his life. He will be able to traverse upon a straight path in his life. And if he did not seek it and learn it, then he will go astray with regards to his wealth and his spending. And he will violate the rights of others by not giving them their rights that they have upon him in his wealth. In his wealth. So therefore, this is also from the sign that Allah wants good for someone. He will seek the knowledge of these affairs. وَعِلْمْ بِرَّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. And he will seek the knowledge also of how to be kind and obedient to the parents. There's knowledge related to each one of these affairs. Details in the legislation related to each one of these affairs. Earning a living and likewise spending. Likewise, he says, وَعِلْمْ بِرَّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The knowledge of how to be kind and gentle and nice with the parents, and to show the parents the honor that they deserve. Inshallah, at this point, some of these points, we discuss them in brief detail, and some of them, we just go over them. Some of them, we'll come back to them and discuss them in brief detail, and others, we just read that which has been summarized here. He says, وَعِلْمْ صِلَةِ الْأَرْحَامِ وَالنَّهِي عَنْ قَطْعِهَا. Likewise, he will seek the knowledge of how to keep ties of the relatives, and he will learn about the prohibition of severing those ties. There's knowledge related to this affair. The one who seeks it and learns it and implements it properly, he has fiqh with regards to this. Then this is a sign Allah wants good for him, and that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves him, and that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is guiding him and blessing him and showing great favor for him, that he will learn these rights that others have upon him, and he will learn how to perform that. And he will learn how to perform that. From that, the rights of the parents, and likewise the rights of the relatives, and the great prohibition of severing ties, cutting ties of relatives. وَعِلْمَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Likewise, the knowledge of how to order the good and how to forbid the evil. This is a great science from the foundations and fundamentals of the deen, from the means for the establishment truly of al-Islam in the life of a believer, and in the home and in the society and in the ummah, is by ordering the good and forbidding the evil, by commanding the good, enjoining the good, and forbidding and prohibiting the evil. There's knowledge with regards to this, how to perform it properly, how to perform it in a manner pleasing to Allah, how to stay inside the limits in doing this, how to work upon this way in a manner that will bring about great and beneficial fruits for oneself and for those who one comes in contact with, and for the community, for the home, and for the community, and for the society. Ordering the good or forbidding the evil. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. That you are the best nation that has been brought out for mankind. That is because you order the good and you forbid the evil. You order the good and you forbid the evil, and you believe in Allah. The goodness of this ummah, it remains so long as the believers, they continue to order the good, enjoin the good and to forbid the evil. Enjoin the good and to forbid the evil. This is of utmost importance to learn about this knowledge. To learn about this knowledge, and it's incumbent upon every believer, especially in the homes, that the parents, they will order the good. They will enjoin the good in their homes, and they will forbid the evil. And they will cut off every pathway that leads to the evil, and they will facilitate every pathway that leads to the good. That leads to the good, the legislative good, from performing the obligations. And this begins by teaching them, by teaching the family, by teaching the family, facilitating those ways of goodness, by teaching them and cutting off the ways of evil, by forbidding them and removing those means of evil and the likes from the home, and likewise amongst the children, that they will command the good amongst each other and forbid the evil. They will enjoin that. The older brother, he will be a means to help and guide and to correct and advise those younger siblings that are under him, from the little brothers and the little sisters, and even likewise the younger ones as well. They will even order the good, or they will enjoin the good upon their bigger brothers or bigger sisters. This is something that has to be established in the home, that the family, they cooperate together upon piety and righteousness, that this is something known for them, that they will not let each other backbite, fall into backbiting. They will stop them. That's backbiting, brother, don't do that. He will remind his brother in this manner, or the brother will remind him it's time for salat. He will not just get up and pray by himself and then leave, or their bigger sister, for example, will not just get up and pray by herself and leave her little sister and the likes in bed. Rather, she will encourage and help and cooperate with the parents in cultivating the younger siblings upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have to work together. You have to cooperate together. This is all great, great knowledge that brings about great, great fruits in the family and likewise in the society. Likewise in the society. He says, وَعِلْمَ النِّكَاحِ وَعِلْمَ النِّكَاحِ إِذَا أَرَادَهُ حَتَّى يَجِرِيَ نِكَاحُهُ بِفِقْهٍ. And likewise the knowledge of marriage. Likewise the knowledge of marriage. If he intends to get married, he needs to learn about these affairs. The sign that Allah intends good for a person, for example, whenever he intends to get married, before that, he will seek knowledge of marriage and the rulings of marriage and the rights of marriage and the fruits of marriage and also the means of corrupting the marriage and all of these affairs before he even engages in that. Whenever he is interested in advancing upon that, he will strive to learn the rulings and the details with regards to that have been clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hatta yajriya nikahuhu bifiqh, so that his marriage can be performed and continue upon understanding in the religion, upon understanding in the religion, upon light. Wa ilm muasharati azawjati wa ma awjaba Allahu azza wa jalla laha alayhi min alhaq wa wajaba lahu alayha min alhaq hatta yajri dhalika kulluhu bifiqh wa ilm. And likewise, he will seek knowledge of how to live alongside with his wife, and even the knowledge of the marital life, and that likewise the female, the male and female, both of them, they must learn this affair. Al-mu'ashara al-zawjiyah, how to live together in a household as husband and wife, how to live a marital life, how to deal with problems whenever they occur, and how to correct them, and how to minimize them, and how to cultivate the family upon goodness, so that that's safinatul usra, yani tajri bis-salama. Tajri bis-salama, so that the ship of the family is sailing safely through the waves of life. Because if not, then the ship can get off course, wa'iyadhu billah, or even it can drown. Even it can drown. And the family can drown in the waves of life because of the negligence of this affair. Many families are drowning in doubts and shubuhat and misguidance. They're drowning in sins and whims and problems and deviations in creed and methodology and deen, and likewise in manners and conduct, because they're not working properly to learn what is incumbent upon them and their home to live together. You need the husband and the wife first and foremost, and then likewise after that, how to cultivate the children. He's talking here specifically about the marital life. وَعِلْمْ مُعَاشِرَةِ الزَّوْجَةِ, the knowledge of how to live alongside with the wife, and with the spouse. وَمَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَهَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَقِّ, the rights that Allah has placed upon him for her. And the rights that Allah has placed upon him, he's responsible for. He'll be held accountable for his wife. وَمَا وَجَبَ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الْحَقِّ, and likewise the right that he has upon her. And likewise the rights that he has upon her. حَتَّى يَجْرِيَ ذَلِكَ كُلُّهُ بِفِقْهٍ وَعِلْمٍ, in order for this to all flow smoothly and beneficially with understanding and knowledge. Much of the problems that we have in our houses between the husbands and wives is because of a lack of understanding of this affair, a lack of the sunnah with regards to al-mu'ashara, al-ishra bayn al-zawjain. They have no knowledge of truly how to live amongst each other, how to deal with each other, how a man he should deal with his wife, how he should deal with his wife, what's required from him, how is he supposed to act, what is the Quran and the Sunnah, what is the statement of the Salaf, what are the narrations of the Salaf mentioned about living with one's wife and how he should deal with her, and how whenever she's nice, whenever she's good, whenever she's not nice, whenever she's not good, and the lines like this, and likewise, how a woman should deal with her husband, how she should treat, what should they expect from one another, how should they act, how should they rectify the affairs, what is their intention in the first place in getting married, what is their intention in the first place in getting married, all of this has to be upon knowledge and understanding, or else the evils and the corruption and the problems, they're going to come. They're going to come. But as for the one that is upon light and knowledge, understanding in the Sunnah, if they have good intention, even still, no doubt there will be problems, but they will be small, and they will be able to, and their problems will be minimized, and they will be able to deal with them and overcome them. They'll be able to deal with them and they will overcome them. And the problems will not overcome them. Rather, they will overcome their problems by the grace and the permission of Allah from the light of knowledge. From the light of knowledge. From the light of knowledge. And then he says, Rahimahullah, Thumma ilm al-adab. Thumma ilm al-adab. Wa muhadathati al-akhwan. Wa muhadathati al-ikhwan. Wa mujawarati al-jiran. And then after that, likewise, the knowledge of manners and etiquettes. The knowledge of the manners and etiquettes of Al-Islam. Al-Islam is a deen of etiquettes. Al-Islam deen wa adab. Bal deen wa adab. Al-Islam deen wa adab wa akhlaq. The religion of Al-Islam is a religion of manners and etiquettes in every aspect of life. In every aspect of life, beginning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, manners and etiquettes, and how one he will carry himself and deal with his Lord. The relationship between him and his Lord. And likewise, etiquettes with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sunan and laws and legal ways. And then after that as well, people in accordance, all of mankind, their etiquettes and manners in every aspect in life. Al-wudu, tahara. This is all from the adab al-islamiyyah. Al-adab al-islamiyyah. All of these affairs, al-tahara, and al-tahara, wal-wudu, wa usul al-janaba. This is all from the beautiful etiquettes and manners of al-Islam. The beautiful etiquettes and manners of al-Islam, the issues of al-tathaub and the issues of al-utans, and all of these affairs, sneezing and yawning, these are all etiquettes in al-Islam, how to perform these affairs. The etiquettes related to the heart and having husn dhan bil muslimin, having good opinion and thoughts about the believers, so on and so forth. All of this, yani hubb al-khayr lil-akharin, to love good for others. All of this is from the noble etiquettes and manners of al-Islam. There's so many. The wal-adab, al-adab al-islami, hiya al-mahak, yani fi al-rijal. The etiquettes, the true Islamic manners and etiquettes, this is the scale. This is the scale that's going to clarify the men. Who is a real man? Who is truly a real man? Upon al-rujul, he has manhood. He's upon a good way. He has muru'ah. He has dignity and honor and respect. This is going to go back to his manners and his etiquettes, how he carries himself, how he deals with the people, how he deals with the people, how he deals and he carries himself in the way that he speaks and the way that he moves. For this reason, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Ad-deenu kulluhu khuluq. الدين كله كله فمن زاد عليك في الخلق زاد عليك في الدين. And whoever has more manners than you, he has more deen than you. And this is for the one who has the understanding properly of the religion, the proper understanding of the deen. It will cultivate a person until he has noble and lofty manners. Till he has noble and lofty manners, from being sincere and being truthful and being kind and being forbearing, being patient, being humble, not being hasty, not being reckless, like this, being noble, being dignified. All of these are from the most beautiful characteristics of a believer, that the true knowledge will cultivate. It will refine him until he's in this manner, chastity and modesty and humbleness, all of these beautiful and lovely traits. This is what will come about for the one who truly learns the deen of al-Islam. He will learn this knowledge here. Knowledge of al-adab wa muhadathat al-ikhwan. He will learn also the knowledge of how to speak with the brothers. And there's etiquettes and manners how to speak with the brothers. There's mudarat. There's all types of men. Mudarat wa jamil al-kalam. There's having a courtesy and kindness. There's ithar. The issue of mudarat. The issue of ithar. The issue of being courtesy. The issue of preferring others over yourself. Dealing when you deal with the brothers and the likes like this. And how you deal with them. How you live with them. Even sometimes maybe a person, he's in a bad mood, but he will not show that to his brothers. Maybe a person, he has a pain in his head. Maybe he has a headache, but he will not tell the people complaining. Rather, he will deal with them, and he will deal with them in a good way, and he will make them feel good and happy, and he will smile and the likes like this in order to put a warm sense of love and happiness in the heart of his brother. All of this is from learning the deen, and this is from the greatest means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla. to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, to have good thoughts about the brothers, to, if ever something comes to you from your brother, before you accuse him, you ask him first, and you verify, and you make the thabbut. إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبِئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا لَا سِيمَ إِذَا كَانَ أَخَاكَ تَعْرِفُهُ زَمَنًا, especially if he's your brother. Especially if your brother, if some news comes to you from a fasiq, somebody who's corrupt, somebody who's evil, then you have to clarify, especially if he's your brother, especially if you know him for some time, especially if you travel with him, especially if you sign knowledge with him, especially if you work with him, and the likes like this. You don't just automatically accuse him and have bad thoughts about him or treat him in a bad manner. Or even if you found that it's true about him, you will not drop him and defame him or belittle him. Rather, you try to pick him up first. You try to advise him first. I heard it reached me that you did this and this. Is this true? Nam is true. Barakallah fi. Why you do that? You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not proper. You know, he will try to help him. He'll try to advise him. He'll try to work with him. He'll try to direct him. He'll take the means that he can to help pull him away from that falsehood. And the lines like this, this is all from our religion. This is all from the manners on how to deal with the people, the manners and etiquettes about Islam, the manners of how to speak with your brothers and how to talk with your brothers and how to handle affairs with your brothers is of utmost importance, and likewise how to deal with the neighbors. And likewise how to deal with the neighbors. The neighbors in Islam, they have a great right, regardless of their state. If he's a neighbor, he has a right. It's not allowed to harm them or to violate their rights. If he's a Muslim and a neighbor, his right is greater. If he's a relative and a neighbor, his right is greater. If he's a Muslim relative and a neighbor, he has three great rights in Islam. Three great rights in that Islam. In one narration, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min, wallahi la yu'min. I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. I swear by Allah, he doesn't believe. They said, Man ya Rasulullah, who, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqah. The one whom his neighbor is not safe from his evils. The one whom his neighbor is not safe from his evils. Is not safe from his evils. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam negated faith from this person. Mentioned he doesn't believe. Meaning his faith is deficient and weak. Meaning his faith is deficient and weak because the faith will call a person to fulfill the rights of others. And from that the rights of the neighbors. And this is for the one who has knowledge. Fiqh in the deen. So the fiqh in the deen will help a person and be a means for a person to be able to perform the rites that are upon him. First and foremost with his Lord. That's why he began with aqidah, ibadat. And then after that, likewise in the dealings, in the dealings with the people. He says, ثُمَّ عِلْمَ حِفْظُ الْجَوَارِحِ أَنْ كُلِّ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ الْكَرِيمُ. And then likewise he will seek knowledge of how to preserve and protect the body parts from everything that is forbidden. From everything that is forbidden. This knowledge here is of utmost importance. This knowledge here is of utmost importance, the knowledge of how to preserve one's body parts. حِفْظ الْجَوَارِحِ. حِفْظُ الْجَوَارِحِ. Protecting, sewn الْجَوَارِحِ. To protect the body parts. One, he has to be diligent to learn the means of protecting his body parts from the haram. Because the body parts that get involved in the haram, then النَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهَا. Then the fire has more right for these body parts. So a person, he has to learn how to protect his eyes from the haram, protect his ears from the haram. Before that, protect his heart from the haram. Protect his hands and his feet from delving into the haram. His stomach, he has to learn these affairs. It's called Hifd al-Jawarih. Hifdu al-Jawarih. And this is of utmost importance. And many of the people of knowledge, whenever they begin the books of Al-Adab, they'll begin with this issue here. Hifd al-Jawarih. حِفْظُ الْجَوَارِحِ. And likewise in the books of the Kabair, likewise they'll begin likewise with these affairs. Protecting the limbs. Protecting the limbs. If you look, for example, in Al-Adab al-Shar'iyyah by Ibn Muflih, from the books of the Hanabida, the legislative manners, it discussed in the very beginning of this book, in the very first chapters of this book, they'll be discussing these affairs. And likewise in the Manzumat of these issues, they begin with Hifdhu al-Jawarih. This is from the greatest manners and etiquettes of Islam. From the greatest manners and etiquettes of Islam, a person, he'll learn how to check his tongue. A person, he'll learn how to check his eyes. A person, he'll learn how to check his ears and his stomach and his hands. And his hands for the sake of Allah. He will learn the limits that are legislated, that which is lawful, like he said in the beginning. This is details of that. There are limits with regard to the tongue. A person, he cannot pass them. If he passes them, then he's exposing himself to great, great danger and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just with his tongue. Just with his tongue. وَهَذَا أَشَدُّ مَا يَكُونَ. This is from the greatest trials a person has, is his tongue. And then after that, his eyes and his ears. And all of this is going and coming from his heart. going to and coming from his heart. His eyes and his ears are pathways to the heart, and the tongue reflects that for the people to see. For the people to see. So to learn these manners and etiquettes is of utmost importance. This is a sign Allah wants good for us. This is a sign Allah He wants good for a person. ثُمَّ عِلْمَ اللِّبَاسِ مِمَّا هُوَ مُبَاحٌ لِلرِّجَالِ وَمَحْظُورٌ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ وَمَا هُوَ مُبَاحٌ لِلنِّسَاءِ وَمَحْظُورٌ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِثْلُ الطِّيبِ وَالْحُلِي. He says, and then likewise, he was seek knowledge as well of the garments and clothing. He was seek knowledge of al-libas. Knowledge of al-libas. There's knowledge with regards to al-libas. Al-libas was zina. The clothing and the adornment. There's chapters in the books of hadith, in Sahih Bukhari, and Sahih Muslim, and the likes like this. You'll find Kitabu al-libas. Or Kitabu al-libas was zina, and the likes like this. The chapter of clothing, the chapter of garments, the chapter of adornment. What is allowed and permissible? There are limits with regards to the clothing of a man and likewise of a woman. And also adornment. There's a legislative manner for a person to adorn himself, and there's a haram manner, a manner that's not allowed or permissible for the man and for the female. For the man and for the female. So a person, he has to be diligent to seek knowledge of this affair. Knowledge of this affair, so he is not wearing something in a manner that is forbidden and that will take him away from the pleasure of Allah, or that he is not helping somebody from his family. Likewise, to wear some garments or allowing them to wear garments that are forbidden that will take him and them away from the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Away from the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So there's great knowledge with regards to this. Learning the knowledge of garments and clothing, that which is permissible for men and forbidden for women, and that which is permissible for women and forbidden for men, like the perfume and also the jewelry. And also the jewelry and his perfume. That is what he's mentioning here. The perfume. He said, reread it again. Some of these points, yani, we can't let them slide. We can't let them slide. I'm trying to summarize as much as I can. But Allah al-Mustan. ثُمَّ عِلْمَ اللِّبَاسِ مِمَّا هُوَ مُبَاحٌ لِلرِّجَالِ وَمَحْظُورٌ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Then he will learn the knowledge of clothing, garments, and included in this chapter, and things that he wears, and he adorns himself with. That which is permissible for the men, and forbidden for the women. وَمَا هُوَ مُبَاحٌ لِلنِّسَاءِ وَمَحْظُورٌ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ. And that which is permissible for the women, and forbidden for the men. So there's two sentences. The first one is about that which is permissible for the men and forbidden for the women. The second one, that which is permissible for the women and forbidden for the men. He said, like al-tib wal-huli. Like mithlu al-tib wal-huli. Like perfume and jewelry. Perfume and jewelry. So the first one is for the first one, and the second one for the second one. You got it? Huh? The first one is for the first one, and the second one is for the second one. The example that he's making, he died in 360, rahimahullah ta'ala. Meaning that you have to learn from the things that we wear and adorn ourselves, that which is permissible for men and forbidden for women, like perfume. And that which is permissible for women, forbidden for men, like jewelry. Huh? Like jewelry. Silk is going to come too. But my point is now, because many men today, you find them wearing jewelry like women. You find them wearing jewelry like women. You find them with a necklace on. You'll find them with a necklace on. Worse than that, earrings. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wow. Ayna rujula. Ayna al-muru'ah. Where's the manhood? He put earrings in his ear? And he's a Muslim, a follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, this is great deficiency and weakness. Wallahi, this is khidlan. Wearing a necklace. Some of them, they wear a necklace and it says Allah on it. This is even despicable. This is even despicable. Claiming that Allah, put Allah's name on your neck. Even it's not halal to have for a man to have a necklace. And then he's going to put the name of Allah on there? Yeah, subhanAllah. Or what we find now, the youth, they're wearing bracelets. Boys. And in reality, they're men. In the deen of Allah, they're men. When they die, they'll be taken to account for their actions. Many of them. We call them boys in Islam. They're called, they're young men. They're young men who are accountable for their actions. Even if they're not accountable for their actions, we can't put bracelets on boys. The boys cannot wear bracelets. Especially not gold. Even if it's silver. Bracelets. Even if it's made of a string. Even if it's made of a string. And the likes like this. We may even say that's worse. We may see even that's worse, wearing the strings and the likes like this, because it could be related to shirk, or even it could be related to following the disbelievers. That's the origin of the affair. But many of them, they wear these little bracelets that are rubber, or they wear these bracelets that are braided and the likes like this, braided bracelets and the like, and friendship bracelets. All of this is from the ways of the kafara. This is from the ways of the disbelievers. It's not allowed for a man to wear bracelets. It's not allowed in the dunya. In the Jannah, there's another story. In the Jannah, there's another story. Men do not wear bracelets. Men do not wear huli. Why? Because men are men. Men are men. وَمَنْ يُنَشَّأُ فِي الْحِلْيَةِ وَهُوَ فِي الْخِصَامِ غَيْرُ مُبِينٍ. This is about women. Women are the ones who are cultivated في حلية. في الحلية and jewelry and beauty. They need to be adorned. They need to be beautified. And the likes like this for the men. As for a man, he's already handsome. He's already strong. His strength is different. He's not like... لَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى يَا أَخِي. The male is not like the female. Brothers, wearing jewelry is lowly. Wallahi, it's lowly. It's despicable. Where a man does not wear jewelry. A man, he has a beard. A man, he has a beard. A man, if he wants to adorn himself, then let him follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let him put his pants up above his ankles. Let him cover his body in a manner that's proper and correct. This is beauty. This is beauty. The beauty is in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beauty is not wearing a gold necklace or wearing gold earrings, or even if it's not gold, if it's platinum or any other kind of jewelry. This is a sign Allah didn't want good for somebody. This is what he's saying here. We understand that? And also for the woman, she puts on perfume and goes out of her house. She puts on perfume and goes out of her house. Or she puts the jewelry on and goes out of her house in public. Tatabarraj. Tatabarraj. Just because she can wear jewelry, that doesn't mean she can wear it in public and become a fitna for them. Allah, she can wear it in front of her husband, in front of her maharim, in front of other women who are trustworthy and the likes like this. As for just wearing it in public, now that's not what is intended. That's not what is intended. And the woman, she cannot wear the perfume likewise in public. That's what he's mentioning here. So there are things from the adornment, from the clothing, from the garments, the things that we wear that are lawful for men and forbidden for women. And there are others that are lawful for women and forbidden for men. That which is lawful for men and forbidden for women, and that which is opposite, that which is lawful for women and forbidden for men. وَلَعَنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُتَشَبِّهِينَ مِنَ الرَّجَالِ بِالنِّسَاءِ وَمُتَشَبِّهَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ لِلرِّجَالِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed those men who imitate women, and he cursed those women who imitate men. So those men with earrings in their ears, they're exposing themselves to the curse of the Prophet Muhammad. Those men who are wearing bracelets and adornment jewelry and the likes like this in this manner, he's exposing himself to the anger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wore a ring, and he wore it for a reason. It was a stamp. That's why he wore it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's permissible for a man to wear a ring that's not from gold. But the sunnah is to wear it as a means of a stamp. As a stamp, not to wear it as a means of adornment. And Allah knows best. And likewise, the people of Nod has mentioned, it's allowed for a man to wear a watch. To wear a watch because of the benefit of knowing the time and the likes like this. This is lawful. So long as it's not gold. Or it's not gold plated. It doesn't have gold in it. But other than that, alhamdulillah. Other than that, alhamdulillah. He will not wear bracelets. He will not wear necklace. He will not wear earrings and the likes like this. He says, ثُمَّ عِلْمَ الْمَأْكُولِ وَالْمَشْرُوبِ إِذْ فِي الْمَأْكُولِ مُبَاحٌ وَغَيْرُ مُبَاحٍ وَفِي الْمَشْرُوبِ مُبَاحٌ وَغَيْرُ مُبَاحٍ. And he will likewise learn the knowledge of food, any of the food that one eats, and likewise that which one drinks, because from the food there is that which is permissible and that which is not permissible. And also from the drinks, there are things that are permissible and there are others that are not permissible. He says, ثُمَّ عِلْمَ كَيْفَ شُكْرُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِمَا أَوْلَى مِنْ نِعَمِهِ. He says, and then likewise he will learn the knowledge. This is so important. He will learn the knowledge of how to show thanks to Allah. He will learn the knowledge of how to show thanks to Allah for the blessings and favors that He has bestowed upon us. So there's knowledge with regards to this. There's blessings and favors that we're all benefiting from and partaking in every moment of our life, every breath of our life, blessings and favors. The fact that we can breathe without a machine on our own easily is a favor and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. Organs inside of our bodies that are working nonstop, constantly, and we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything. These are great favors and blessings. We have to learn how to show thanks. Our bodies, our joints, they're moving. A person, he can move his arm, he can move his hand, he can stand up on his own, he can lift, he can help others. These are great favors and blessings we have to learn. There's an obligation that one, he must seek knowledge. He must seek knowledge of in order to be able to show thanks and appreciation to Allah properly. He said, رحمه الله ثم طالب الفقه. Then he will seek fiqh. He will seek the knowledge of fiqh, jurisprudence. of how to perform the actions of Ahlus Sunnah properly. ثم علم كيف التوبة ممن أذنب ذنبا فما هو الواجب عليه لله عز وجل. So then he will seek the knowledge of how to repent. He will seek the knowledge of repentance. Wallahi, this is of utmost importance. There's knowledge you have to seek and learn. You have to seek. You have to have time. You have to go out and look for. And you seek and strive to obtain the knowledge of repentance. Repentance for the one who committed the sin. So what is the obligation upon him? For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. The one who fell into a sin. The one who committed a crime. How will he repent? What is the means to do that? How can he fix and rectify this affair? There's knowledge with regards to this. It's an obligation for us to seek it. And those who seek it and learn it and implement it in their life, this is a sign that Allah, He wants good for them. This is a sign that Allah, He wants good for them. He says, وَكَيْفَ التَّوْبَةُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ الَّتِي بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْمَخْلُقِينَ. And likewise, how to repent from the sins that are between him and the people. قَالَ مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ حُسَيْنِ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ. The author, he says, هَذَا يُطُورُ شَرْحُهُ فَمَنْ فَقَّهَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ لِطَالِبِ عِلْمِ مَا ذَكَرْتُ لِيَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ فِي جَمِيعِ مَا تَقَدَّمَ ذِكْرُنَا لَهُ وَمِمَّا لَمْ أَذْكُرْ مِمَّا يَطُورُ بِهِ الْكِتَابِ فَعَبَدَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ فِيهِ بِفِقْهٍ وَعِلْمٍ فَهُوَ مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا إِذْ لَمْ يَتْرُكُهُ فِي الْجَهْلِ إِذْ لَمْ يَتْرُكُهُ فِي الْجَهْلِ. So he mentioned now to summarize that the explanation of all of these affairs here and that which he has mentioned and that which he has not mentioned from these manners and etiquettes and this knowledge that one he must learn, it will cause the book to become very lengthy. But the point is that whoever seeks the knowledge of these affairs and learns it, then he worships Allah Azza wa Jal and fulfills those rites upon understanding and knowledge, then he is from those whom Allah has intended good for, because he did not leave him in ignorance. So we see all of this is summarized from this one paragraph here that the Mukhtasar, he had summarized this in just a few words. فَطَلَبَ عِلْمَ مَا تَصِحُ بِهِ أَقِيدَتُهُ وَعِبَادَتُهُ وَعَمَلَاتُهُ فَعَبَدَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَلَى بَصِيرًا وَبِفِقٍ وَعِلْمٍ فَهَذَا مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ الْكَرِيمُ بِهِ خَيْرًا إِذْ لَمْ يَتْرُكُهُ فِي الْجَهْلِ. This is a summarization of all that which we have just discussed. On these points here, there are a number of them. From them, we were going to take three of them. عِلْمُ بِرْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. عِلْمُ بِرْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. The knowledge of how to be kind and fulfill the rights of the parents. وَعِلْمُ مَعَاشِرَةِ الزَّوْجَةِ. وَعِلْمُ مَعَاشِرَةِ الزَّوْجَةِ. And likewise, the knowledge of how to live a marital life. And also, عِلْمُ كَيْفَ الشُّكْرُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The knowledge of how to show thanks to Allah. The knowledge of how to show thanks to Allah. So these three points here, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, in our class to come, we'll discuss them in a bit of brief detail. The knowledge of being kind and obedient to the parents. What does this mean? And how to perform that? We can summarize that in brief detail, insha'Allah. And likewise, the knowledge of how to live a marital life. What Allah has mentioned about this. There are verses that Allah has mentioned about these affairs. There are verses in the Quran and likewise a hadith in the sunnah that clarify many great and beneficial details of these affairs. And likewise, ilmu kayfa ash-shukru lillahi azza wa jalla, the knowledge of how to show appreciation, knowledge of how to be thankful. There's knowledge with regards to this. This is an amazing affair. How to show thanks to Allah. How to show thanks to Allah. We have to learn these affairs. Those who learn these issues here and these details here, then they are from those whom Allah had intended good for, because He did not leave them in ignorance. Because the one who does not have knowledge of these affairs, the one who is ignorant of these affairs, then he will not be able to perform these rites. Even if he tries to perform these rites, we've seen in the previous class what will happen. He will not be able to perform them right. He will not be able to perform them in a manner that is correct. The one who, even if he learned about these rites and he knows it's an obligation to be kind to the parents, yahmukallah, knowledge, that's knowledge. Knowledge from the manners and etiquettes of Ahlus Sunnah. How to perform that, that's the right he has upon us. And we have to be able to know that and to perform that right. This is all from the light of knowledge. All from the light of knowledge. So the Quran and the Sunnah has come with evidences clearly clarifying the details of these affairs. And the one who does not have that knowledge, even if he learns in general that it's an obligation to obey the parents, even if he learns it's a right from his brother if he sneezes, and he says Alhamdulillah, that you say to him, Yahumukallah. He learns those rights. But he learns that that's a right, but he does not learn how to perform it properly. Then he will not be able to benefit from that, and it will not be a benefit for him, and it will not be a light for him. Rather, it will be a proof against him. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Quran hujjatun laka aw alayk." The Quran is a proof for you or against you. Just like Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, and we read in our previous class, in our previous class that the one that he's performing actions that are not behind knowledge, he's like somebody who's just walking on the path with no guide. He's just traversing on the road, going on a journey with absolutely no guide and no knowledge of the way. Somebody who's just wandering on the road. Somebody who wants to head out on a journey and he wants to, for example, go to Florida, and he just drives whichever way, just gets in the car and drives. He has no clue which way is Florida. For example, he doesn't know from here it's south. He might get on the road and start driving north. He doesn't know. He just heads out. He might even go in circles. He doesn't even know. This is the example of the person who tries to worship Allah and fulfill these rites without knowledge. He just heads out on the path. And this is the example of many of the Muslims today. They want to make hajj, just head out on hajj. He just buys a ticket. MashaAllah, he's got lots of money, but doesn't have very much knowledge. And he didn't even have any concern to learn. He would just buy a ticket and go overseas and then make umrah with no knowledge. And many of them, they wind up following shirk, following an innovation, or they make hajj in the same manner. Many of them, every single day they come to the masjid and they pray upon no knowledge. And their prayer is barely correct, and at least to say because of a deficiency in this affair. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.